Hello, welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in a series titled Challenging Norms. If you're interested in North Valley Church or our sermon podcast, you can reach us on our website, nvcmd.org.
Good morning again. So, who is excited? Hey, we got snacks for church. Yeah. See, we upstairs with the adults, we don't get this. We miss out. When I'm downstairs with the kids, they kind of are patient up until that moment when they hear the words they're waiting for all morning. Okay, let's go get some snacks. Boom! You don't have to explain anything to anybody. They run right up there. They get in line. It's like snacks are it. That's like part of the joy of being able to do kids ministry. I'm starting to wonder if maybe we're not missing out on something here in the adult service. Yet, why don't we take snacks in church more seriously? Like, what if we invited those folks who make custom omelets for church on Sunday? And on Family Sunday, yeah, what would it be like to come to church to the smell of bacon? Everybody but Millie would probably enjoy the smell of bacon when they came to church. We could become the church famous for snacks and breakfast at church. Yeah, we could do that. It could be. This could be the start of something amazing. See, the idea is just getting better as we go on. Okay, so trustees, we need to work up a budget for the coffee bar and the espresso machine. Well, I'm going to let that go. No, we probably could afford the... We would spend some savings, but we might do that anyway. So, but think about what the coolness would be if we made snacks and breakfast part of what we do. It could be something cool, right? And people would say, hey, I'm going to go to that church. I don't remember what the name of it is. I don't know what they're talking about, but they serve cool breakfasts on Family Sundays. It would be kind of cool, but it's like if we did that on that Sunday, it would start to become about breakfast, wouldn't it? We would all show up hungry. We would all show up thirsty, waiting for our espressos. We would be waiting in line for our omelets. And that would become the focus. And while food is not a bad thing, I'm a big food fan. I mean, we're having snacks today. We're having lunch afterwards. I'm a big fan of food. But it's possible that we do that in a way so that we get focused on the food and we kind of lose sight of why we're really here. And it becomes more about the food than it would be about Jesus. Now, you might be wondering, well, Dan, if that's what your conclusion is, why the heck did you say all that? Because that really happened. That really happened, that it became more about the food than it did about Jesus. If you've been following with us, we have been walking through the book of John. A couple of Sundays ago, Jesus fed 5,000 people with a couple of loaves and a couple of fish. And the people who had that meal were like, wow, that was cool. The food was great. I got to eat as much as I wanted. It made a giant impression in them. Now, Jesus did it, so it wasn't a bad thing, but the people got so focused about the food that they actually lost focus on why Jesus fed them in the first place. So we're going to pick up where we are in the book of John, and we're going to be, today's sermon's actually titled, Thinking with Our Stomachs, where snacks and food and breakfast, Espresso bar? All right, that's not all a bad idea, but I just want to make sure we keep the main thing the main thing. And this crowd who was following Jesus didn't do that. Jesus had fed 5,000 people, They were all very happy. It was a miracle that he did that, right? So he fed 5,000 people. I'm trying to not look at the back row. So he fed, don't anybody else, they're like, don't turn your heads. He fed 5,000 people. He fed 5,000 people. They were very excited about being fed, and they wanted to make Jesus king. And as the ruckus started to build, hey, let's make Jesus our king. And then he's obviously doing cool stuff. He could overthrow the Romans. Jesus got wind of all that. And when Jesus got wind of all that, he went off to a mountainside by himself. So this is what the crowd witnessed. Hey, this guy Jesus fed us all this really good, yummy meal. That was good. Then as they started to talk about Jesus being king, they saw him leave the crowd and go up on the mountainside. Then they saw the disciples, the remaining disciples, they got in a boat and rowed out into the lake. That's what the crowd witnessed. They all knew that happened. What they didn't know is while the disciples were rowing across the Sea of Galilee, Jesus walked out on the water and met the disciples out in the boat. Right? So the crowd didn't see that. So Jesus and the disciples are now on the other side of the lake. The people, if you remember from last week, the people got had some boats come in from Tiberias, I think. And so they had some boats, and they got in the boats, and they went in search of Jesus. That's where our narrative is. We're going to pick up the narrative when the crowd, catches up with Jesus on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. In verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Right? So just a little memory thing. Remember the way I told the thing? They thought Jesus was still up on the mountainside. They didn't know he had walked out across the Sea of Galilee, got in the boat with the disciples, and went on the other side of the lake. So the disciples had left in a boat. The crowd didn't know that. They're just catching up. But Jesus knows what it is that they're thinking. He knows what's on their heart. He answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. You came to find me because I gave you a good bag of Cheez-Its. All right, I'd like to invite the band back up. No, that's not the way it should be. Well spotted. But that's where these folks were at. They got some food, and now they're looking for more food. Jesus continues his little attempt to get these folks' attention. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So Jesus is trying to try and paint a picture for these folks. Hey, folks, food is okay. Yeah, I fed you the bread and the fish, and it's not bad. I gave you some Cheez-Its, maybe some pirate booty. Okay, and a thing of water. That's okay, but don't get so focused on that you lose sight of who the Father sent. Don't get focused away from eternal life. If you are a note taker and you got a program and you got an outline, underline the words eternal life in the verse 27 there. I'm just giving you a preview. That is what Jesus is all about. We are going to watch a discussion attempt to happen between Jesus and the crowd. Some of the crowd are going to be talking about food. Jesus is going to be talking about eternal life. So I'm shooting you a flare. We're going to watch this unfold. In verse 28, then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Right? Big question. Okay, you said I shouldn't be working for food that spoils. I should be doing the work of God the Father. What exactly is that? Jesus gives them a direct answer. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Jesus is referring to himself. I'm the one the Father sent. You need to put your faith and trust in me. Believe in me. That's what God wants us to do. God requires belief. It's not going to be okay for us to go through life and not have put our faith and trust in Jesus. That is what it is that God the Father requires of us. The crowd then responds. So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" This is hilarious. These folks can't let it go. "Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." They are focused, right? They got the blinders on. It's about the bread. It's about the food. Well, you want to talk about heavenly bread or whatever? Our ancestors ate manna, and that came from heaven. Can you beat that? Right? Our ancestors ate the Moses manna stuff. Can you do better than that? They've got blinders on. They are not listening. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." If you're a note taker, you want to underline the part that says, "comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Right? As we take a half a step back and look at it, Jesus is talking about the Word of God. It's the Word of God that gives us life. It's the Word of God that gives us that eternal life, that sustaining life. Bread, yeah, we need to eat bread. But, man, it's really about the Word of God and what it is that we can be doing to take it in. That's the one that gives us life. Not a Cheez-It, not even manna. It's God's Word. So Jesus describes this idea. We know he's referring to the Word of God, but Jesus used the metaphor of that's the bread, right? There's other places where Jesus said, man doesn't live on bread alone, he lives on the Word of God. But they heard the word bread. So they respond, "Sir, always give us this bread." They are stuck. They are stuck. They cannot think of anything else but bread and food. Jesus is trying to paint them a picture. So Jesus is going to take them on a big lesson. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of the one who sent me." If you are a note taker, you want to grab on verse 38, underline where it says, "I have come down from heaven." We're going to reference that in a minute. And then Jesus paints the big picture. This is it, starting in verse 39. "And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I shall not lose all of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Woohoo! Yeah. Can I get a woohoo? All right. That is the good news. They're beating the bush around this conversation of bread, but Jesus just gets right to it. If you want eternal life, you need to put your faith and trust in me. That is the gospel. You can have bread, you can be focused on earth things, but the good news is about the eternal life we can have through Jesus. On this side of history, we can look and see that Jesus lived and was going to be sacrificed on the cross to pay the price for our sins, the thing we couldn't do for ourselves. We've all incurred a debt with God, and Jesus' death on the cross paid the price for our sins. Cooler yet, when he rose from the dead 3 days later, he demonstrated he is the one with power and authority over sin and death. When we put our faith and trust in him, accept his forgiveness and leadership in our life, we are forever transformed. If you've never done that before today, man, why don't you take a few minutes today and let God talk to you about that? If you're ready to maybe say, hey, maybe I want this kind of eternal bread, I would love to talk to you after the service. You can either come talk to me, you can talk to Grant while you're asking him how to sign up for the baby shower. But let's not let that pass today. If you've never done that before, if you don't think you can stick around and talk or you're still wrestling with it, you can always send an email to info@nvcmd.org. All right. You're well brainwashed. I mean programmed. I mean you have great memories. Jesus has shared with them the good news. Jesus has done it in the context. He's had a spiritual conversation in the context of, we liked your bread. And he said, I am the bread of life. I came down from heaven. Remember me saying, underline that? The crowd heard that. The crowd heard, oh, Jesus is now saying, come down from heaven. The crowd's response stays stuck on earth. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Do you see how they've got their blinders up? Do you see how they're so stuck on the food, the earth things, that they can't hear what it is that Jesus is saying to them? The same thing happens for us at church. We can get so focused on the food and the snacks and the stuff that we lose focus about why we're really here, that it's really about Jesus. We can get excited about the band. I love the band. I think we do a great job. Why don't you give them a hand? Yeah. However, that's not why we're here. We're here because we're all following Jesus and we want to hear him speak to us through the music, as well as through his word. It's about Jesus. Sometimes we come to church because we have friends and we want to meet people and we want to build relationships. That's not a bad thing either. But the relationships with our friends can't be more important than our relationship with Jesus. Can you see how that plays out here on a Sunday morning? That it can't be about the food, it can't be about the music, it can't be about the relationships. Those are all good things, good and right things. But what we really want in the center of that box is Jesus. I hope you'll be able to see that on Sunday morning. I hope you'll be able to see that Monday through Saturday. The same questions, the same issues, the same earthly focus needs to not distract us from who Christ is Monday through Saturday, as well it is on Sunday morning. Sunday's like a tune-up. Sunday's an opportunity for me to go, okay, if I can get this right here on Sunday, I can carry this with me so that I'm more of who God wanted me to be on Monday through Saturday. I hope you are able to take a moment and think about the earthly things. They are not bad. God gave us those things to be able to celebrate and have. Yay. But I hope you're able to take a moment and think about the things that might be distracting you from your relationship with Christ. Make sure that's the center. Make sure that's the focus. I would like to ask the band to come back up. And while they are, I hope that you can hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now. I can say all this stuff. I can read God's word. I can talk about earthly things. But the reality is the Holy Spirit knows what's going on in your life. And he can speak directly to those things and draw you closer to him. So while we do this last song, I hope that you're able to take a moment and go, hey, I hear you. I hear you, and you're telling me that there are some earthbound things that I'm letting become more important than you. Help me get the balance straight. Make sure Jesus is on the throne of your life and your heart and your mind. Make sure he's number one. Keep the main thing the main thing. Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, man, thank you. Thank you for snacks. You fed 5,000 people because you thought it was worth doing. Yay. We have snacks. We enjoy. It's an opportunity to build community and relationships when we have meals together. Yes. But as we do those things, as we have food, as we build relationships, as we listen and participate with good worship music, Lord, help us remember it's all about you. It's always been about you. Help us to be able to keep that focus, Lord. If there's something that's in the way, I pray that your Spirit would speak to us right now and that we can deal with it today and in the week to come. It's in your name we pray. Amen.